on the air for hour number two on this Wednesday, January 19th, 2022. Coming up on 15 minutes past the hour in about 5 seconds. Glad you're back with us. Hour number two today. Glenn Coble and myself keep up that phone line, 740-383-9944. If you didn't get in last hour, give us a buzz. If it's ringing busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else, 740-383-9944. A Progressive Life with Dr. Feynman and Glenn Coble follows this program today. And then today at 4 p.m., we have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman. 5 p.m., we have a show that I guess has no name, but it's Pastor Craig.
I love that name.
Yeah, exactly. No name. Pastor Craig, Nate Redman, and Terry Tackett. And then from 6:10 until 7 p.m., it's the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, live programming all day on WWGH Radio, 740-383-9944. Now, I do have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, I did not get to hear your show on Thursday, but...
I'm so sorry.
Well, I didn't hear your show on Thursday, and Adam filled in for me on Friday, so I didn't get to hear Adam's version of my show on Friday.
Okay.
But what I did hear was, I guess on Thursday, you mentioned to the audience that there was a board meeting going on.
I just mentioned that I thought we had a board meeting that
right,
night.
Right, right. Well, but I guess this piqued people's interest.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And then the next day...
Now we got a bone to pick with me.
Well, here's what... there are... And, you know, whatever about the whole thing. But apparently the next day, people were quizzing Adam about... Because they don't know who's on the board.
No, he's not on the board.
He's not on the board. So they were asking Adam questions about what had happened the night before, which, of course, he would not know about.
Yep.
And it just, when I heard the conversation, it sounded like Adam was completely confused. And it just...
poor Adam.
Yeah. So I don't know. Nothing much came of that board meeting. So just the...
I thought it was a very positive board meeting.
Well, I think it was positive, but I don't think... It was, I mean, it's 4 times a year.
Yeah, and it's just internal stuff, like, what are we going to spend the money on that we have to, you know, the FCC says we need a new such and such. And
yeah, so it's not exactly the Yalta Conference with
right.
Stalin and Roosevelt.
Well, I'm the president of it, so it can't be the Yalta Conference.
You know, the ones that I have been to are very relaxed,
yeah.
And people do what they're supposed to do, and that's...
Some people fall asleep, yeah.
Did anybody fall asleep in that one?
No. I was thinking of the one before, the one where we got
the long
thing about from the FCC.
But, you know, it's interesting that people are curious...
Yeah.
About that sort of thing. But there are people who have no idea about what's going on.
We're honest to goodness radio station. We have to follow what the FCC says.
Yeah, you have to follow what the FCC says, and you do what you do.
Yeah, you got
so,
things.
But it is good. What I liked about it in this bone was that people knew it happened.
Yeah.
There was no doubting that it happened. But I think people were just confused about who was on the board, and they were asking Adam, and he got all confused.
Well, let's tell them who's on the board. Linda Sims is
Linda
on the
Sims.
Board. I'm on the board.
You're on the board.
Terry
and Sean.
Sean is thinking about retiring, so we may have to...
Retiring? Is that what happened?
That's what it's called.
Is that a retirement?
So we may have to take on another person.
May. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that satisfied me. That mystery's over, but
I just thought Adam seemed awful confused on Friday.
Well, you know, I've heard that pass the buck all my life. That's part of nature. Some can pass the buck pretty good, and some can't. You know, I like the one sometimes lately. It's all over. They use the term. If they don't want to really discuss it and get down to the nitty-gritty or don't know what they're talking about, they said, well, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a policeman, I'm not a lawyer, and all that. That's funny chat, you know, back and forth. It's just a kind of way to get out and pass the buck from one to the other, saying I'm not. But I know on the radio you can't give your opinion in a local area because there's somebody will pin you down sooner or later. But anyhow, Glenn, talking about, I heard the word Chauncey, and just north of Athens.
Yep.
What were you saying about that?
Well, Scott thought it was pronounced Chauncey, and I, having covered the city of Chauncey for a year, I know that the locals call it Chauncey. That's all.
Well, that, That's all. I go by there. We had a cabin. We built, bought a piece of land and had a place down in Meigs County. 25 years. We'd go down there every other weekend. So we're part of that Meigs County,
yep,
per se, about the people. Very nice people in that county.
They're
but it's also
people.
Just right here at Athens in your hometown where you've done a lot of things in sports and stuff. That was... that was known as Meigs Gold. Did you ever hear that?
Oh, absolutely. Meigs Gold is the best marijuana around, I guess.
That's right. When you went by there, the university, and when they revamped that and put the, they had a golf course and everything in there, you recollect that.
Yep, and, I used to play it.
and the cliff was right there, way up high on the left-hand side going south, and you could see people way up there, and... through the grapevine.
We're losing you.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold that phone too close to your face.
Telemarketer's buzzing me, too. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Way up there, through the grapevine, well, I saw the boots a lot, and I said, boy, those kids really, to me, they was as college students.
Yeah.
They're up high there. They said, hey, Ted, they said that you ought to see the marijuana that grows up there. Everybody shot their own plot. I said, you got to be kidding me. And they said, nah. But I learned a lot. But getting back to another thing about the mail, there was a woman lived right beside us, and a good-looking woman. She was about 20 years older than I was. And I thought, you know, she run the mail route there in Lebanon Township. And me being new down there and her living beside us, per se, clear up over the ridge there, but that was beside you back in them days, talking about
holler.
Well, we had our cabin in the they called referred. Oh, you're the guy that built the cabin down there in that big holler.
Yep.
There on 124 Shane Crow. I said, yeah. But anyhow, getting back to her mail route, I said that'd be a good thing if I'm going to see if I can ride with her on a mail route, and so. Boy, I thought, well, I know the answer when I asked my wife, can I ride with her on the mail route? And she said, well, I don't see why not. And so I rode her on a mail route. Now, you're talking about a mail route and getting the mail at the right place and stuff. And if you ever know anybody in some area like that and you want to learn the area, just get on the mail route and ride with them once. And then you'll see the delays and the troubles and this and that. But she said, hey, kid, you think you're going to ride with me free of charge? And I said, oh, kind of thought I would. And I said, you might have to, one of them little dinky towns, you might have to get me a pop or something. And she said, well, no, you're going to sit right over there in that passenger seat. And when I hand those papers to you, you put them where I tell you, in the driveway or up here in the yard, and they got specific places to be.
Yep.
So that was the interesting thing. And another little thing I was going to say, down there when we bought the property, the two attorneys in Meigs County in Pomeroy, their name was Crow and Crow.
I know the Crows, yes.
Every time the Crows hollered, I always remember the attorneys I talked to that closed the deal on the land. But they on the land, it had 5 points on the survey thing. Well, I never heard of 5 points, you know. But it always said in the deed, give or take. So I thought, you know, some of those traditions of stuff in the hills and pronunciation and words and stuff, they don't care. That's what it is, and that's what it's going to be. And we was right off of the scenic route 124, come right out of Pomeroy, and went right down there to two little burgs there, had a swimming pool, and their swimming pool, and you talk about our aquatic center down there, In their swimming pool, they put a real beautiful swimming pool in. Didn't have all the jazzed up things we got there, and they had that swimming pool paid for in 1 year. That is in the little town of Syracuse, and it was learned a lot of things from really nice people down there in Meigs County. I love going to church. I never went to church. The Baptist church was right across our land and their land joined. And I told the boys on a Sunday, I said, listen, I said, you guys go over there and go to church. And they said, Dad, what do you mean go to church over there? They said, never been in there. I said, just go walk across the field there and go on over and go to church. And so they come back from church and they said, Dad, the oldest one, there's 4 years difference in them. Todd said, Dad, please don't make me go with that church again. I said, well, what's wrong? What happened? He said, buddy, they get with it. And so it was pretty interesting. Your dad being a minister and stuff, I thought I'd throw that in there, you know, that everyone I knew, and I went down and helped them set the tombstones just down the road from me. That church down, they had two churches within, half mile each other. That Baptist church, I helped the guy down there I got acquainted with, an older gentleman, that he had information you'd never believe. And it was a fun place for 25 years. The state come and eminent domain, and they wanted to put that Route 33 in, and they took our place, and that was the end of that. But we got it treated real well, and we was getting older and time to go. Why? That's the moral of my story. So I got stories, but I just thought I'd throw that little mess out. Hey, thanks, you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Glenn, did you have any of that Meigs gold? Did you weigh that in anywhere?
Did I have what? I'm sorry.
The Meigs gold?
No, sir. I did not. I had quit that kind of thing long before that, before I went there.
Oh, you have. If you didn't have, in other words, just the question, did you have any Meigs gold? I didn't put any handle on what it was.
No, I... earlier in my life, I touched a little bit of what we called Kankakee gold, which was from the
Kankakee. Isn't that over there where you come from? They called it a Hoosier?
Chachki?
The Hoosier?
And, yeah, the Hoosier stuff.
And you was the user?
Not very often.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye.
And by the way, I was going to do this this morning, but we've had big phone calls, and it's been great this morning.
Yeah.
Sarah, our favorite bus driver here in Marion, called in yesterday. She's out with COVID.
Oh.
Get well, Sarah. I know you're out there listening,
do.
And I know members of your family are also under the weather, so we send our best wishes to you and hope you're out there listening and feeling better.
Yeah.
Now, Lebanon, Ohio. I'll never forget, I was driving down the road one day passing Lebanon, and the sign was there, and I was riding with somebody in the car, and they go, what's Lebanon?
Yeah.
I never let the person live that down. What's Lebanon? That's like Bucky Russ.
Yeah, Bucky
same
Russ.
Thing.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to weigh in, 27 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH time. Again, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so try back in, 740-383-9944. The board meeting question, there was a segue.
Okay.
Because yesterday, one of our callers called in and said that Jim Ganahl had been asked, he'd been gone from television for 2 weeks, and he came back, and somebody said, where have you been, Jim? And he said, I had COVID. But we really couldn't substantiate if he had it or not. So when I got off the air yesterday, I sent Jim a message, and I said, Jim, did you have COVID? I'm just, you know, trying to confirm this. And he goes, yes, I did. And I said, well, do you want to come on and talk about it for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, what it was like and so on and so forth? And he said, that's private. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Jim Ganahl. I like Jim. Went to his house, interviewed him for 2 hours. Great guy. But once you say it on television, is it any longer a private matter?
Matter of fact, they're going over that on some of these subpoenas where people are being subpoenaed by the government. Once you make it public, it's no longer private.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because Mayor Schertzer announced on this show that he had had COVID and what he went through. Last week, Mary Ellen announced on this program that she'd had COVID and what she went through.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, I was just confused. I mean, I did not know that Jim had COVID. I heard it from one of our listeners.
Yeah.
And he did it say, yes, he had no problem saying he had it. And if you've said it on television, then what's the private matter?
Well, the private matter might be what your symptoms were. Maybe he had some disgusting symptoms.
Well, Jim, like I said, what I think it fell back to was Jim is when I met him, he had self-admitted shy gentleman. And I think there was a lot of that involved, to be honest.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it seemed like. In any event, 740-383-9944. Now, the other segue out of that Jim Ganahl thing.
Oh, we got more.
Well, this became an interesting conversation last Friday night. And it all started because Adam did fill in for me last Friday morning. And one of our listeners came in and wanted to meet Adam because they'd met other Charlie and myself and so on and so forth. And pretty much that we're the same people off the air. Well, this person remarked that Adam is different.
Yes, he is.
Off the air than on the air. He speaks much faster and seemed a little shy. Again, like the Jim Ganahl shy, not a people person. And so this brought up an interesting thing in my mind because I've known a lot of radio personalities over the years, and a lot of people do adopt names. They adopt personalities. And I was thinking, without saying the names, you know, I have known a lot of people, I'm trying not to use the word phony, but they adopt a whole personality, a whole way of speaking, and a whole, do you remember, speaking of this, do you remember, and this was on air, so it's not like I'm telling tales out of school, do you remember when the pandemic first started and Adam came in the studio when we were on the air live doing this show one day? And Adam had said on the air that he had a different opinion about you from about the masks.
Yeah.
And you were voicing your opinion about the masks that day, and Adam would not say his opinion because he knew your opinion.
Yeah.
So that, basically, what do you make of all that? Because that became a big point of conversation last Friday.
Well, if I take my glasses off and put my cape on, you'd know who I really was.
Well, I actually mentioned you last Friday night because I went around people here at the station and tried to think, and I said, you know, you would be surprised because the rub on you, I think, on the station is that you're very political.
Yeah.
And I said, 99% of the conversations I've ever had with Glenn off the air have nothing to do with politics.
No, I don't really talk about politics much.
Right, but I think people think you are political to the bone because of the shows you do.
I watch several political shows so that I can keep informed. But and my wife and I talk politics, but I don't talk politics to anybody but my wife.
I said at the Christmas party, I said at the anniversary party, I said during the break. Very rarely have we ever talked about a political issue.
Yeah, you know my opinions, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that's hidden or phony. I'm just saying if people were to only know you from the air, I think they would think that you were just a, you know, boy, news channels 24/7, and this is all I have no other hobby. it's interesting.
Well, it's I'm not sure that's good or bad, but
it's not true.
I've done a lot of things in my life. Like I've told people, I've had 21 homes and I've had 21 different jobs. So I do a lot of stuff. On my webpage, I have I'm a master of several. No, I'm a jack of all trades, but a master of none. And that's about it.
Well, and I used to say the same thing about Charlie. I said, you know, what Charlie did on the air, I mean, that was him, but during the break, I would get a lot more opinion from Charlie.
And you get it on our breaks, too, more.
Yeah, I mean, if I said a name or I said an issue, I would get an opinion. Charlie's show wasn't so much about that. He was more about trivia and history and giving away stuff. So it never came to that, but I certainly knew, I mean, many a day he would come into the studio before the show would start, and he'd be ranting about something he saw on television, but it would never come up on the air.
One of the things that came up this morning on the air is you wanted to know which direction...
somebody called in.
Did they?
Yeah, somebody called.
I think it's west, isn't it?
It's west. Well, somebody called in first and said, is there any meaning to the way that Lady Justice is facing? And then somebody called in and said always been facing west, and there is no meaning to that.
I was going to look up, and I didn't look up, but I thought I remembered that. But, people are always different on the air. I'm way different. I talk louder on the air. Well, my voice is deeper on the air.
Well, I think there's a little bit of that, but I'm talking personality-driven. I think there is a big difference in Adam's speech pattern.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any girls here, so therefore you don't seem to be the real Glenn.
Go ahead, caller.
So, Glenn, out of those 21 jobs, how many have you been fired from? 21?
Two.
Two?
Yeah. And one of them was because I demanded the $3,000 the station owner owed me, and he fired me. So, really, one.
He screwed you out of money, too.
Yeah, he did. He screwed me out of the money as well. I was fired from OU as assistant athletic director, but that was because we got a new We got a new president that took over, and he basically told my boss, the athletic director, you got to get rid of all the male administrators. So, and he gave them a year to get rid of us. So I knew it was going to happen. So.
Well, that's pretty good, 19-2. Any team could, you know, be proud about that.
Yeah, well, I have never had a job that I didn't try hard. I wasn't good at some of them, but I tried hard.
Some of them you like better, and some of them paid better.
I loved athletics. I did not like the 100-hour weeks sometimes.
How about working for yourself? You said you had that sporting good business.
That was tough. It was really tough, and that was another one of those things where you work hours and hours and hours, and you look at the ledger, and it tells you you're losing money, and boy, that's not fun at all.
Well, that's what most people don't realize. You know, our family's been in business before. Most people think, you know, because you're in business that you're loaded with money.
Oh, yeah, I was not.
But it is not the case. You don't work a 40-hour week job either,
no,
you know.
Absolutely not. Yeah,
and have all the time off, and you know, even though you might have, you know, a nice car, maybe a nice home or something, you got the big payment that goes along with it. You know,
well, I had neither.
Well, I'll tell you what, there, and I'm again not to say names because I think people's privacy is important, but there's some people here in town right now that a lot of people really thought were loaded, and I think we're starting to find out that maybe they're not because of some of the things that are going on.
Yeah,
some people try to act like they're loaded, too.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people act like that.
Yeah.
I find being honest about where you really are works better for me, and now it didn't. I was not always an honest person. I was always an honest person, but when I was younger, if a lie would help me, I wasn't above it. But now I found that being honest is a lot better for everybody.
Well, honesty is okay as long as you're not invading somebody else. And I don't like when people do that. If you know, like, let's say off the air, I told you something.
Yeah.
And you brought it up on the air without asking me, even if it was true, I would not like that.
I understand that.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, for years, and I don't know how many people will relate to this, but Vince McMahon, who is now the billion-dollar owner of the WWE, WWF wrestling conglomerate, for many years, he was their main announcer on their television shows. And he, on television, he did not want to be referred to as the owner of the company, even though he was all their bosses. But he just wanted people to see him as the announcer because he thought that was important. So if any of the wrestlers would have ever referred to him as their boss, they would have been fired. So, and I can understand that because he, as an announcer, which he liked doing, he did not want to be seen as the boss.
To the caller, would you prefer voting for an honest politician who told you something you didn't like to hear, or do you want to hear the lies that you want to hear?
Oh, I want to vote for the honest person.
I was sure of that.
I mean, you know, news might hurt, but I ain't gonna vote for anybody just tells you lies.
The problem is
somebody we had in there not too long.
I'm telling you, the problem with that though, and I would never be in politics. And I've never been in politics, and I've never campaigned for anybody. The problem is there are certain issues in areas you're running in that if you are honest about how you will vote on them, you will not get elected. So you're fall on the sword, I guess, if that's what you want.
Well,
I just figure don't run if you're going
to
be honest.
Don't really talk about it.
Well,
you know,
it's hard if somebody asks you a question, though. How do you... There are certain... I'll tell you the big one in this area, and it's gun rights. And if you answer that wrong, you are not going to get elected. And people will ask you that question. Both parties will ask you. The Democrats will ask you because they want to make sure that you're going to do something about it. And the Republicans will ask you because they don't want you to do anything about it. And what are you going to do if you do?
You just evade the question. I mean, you know, look at Donald Trump, how he evaded everything.
So you're okay with evading the question as long as they don't lie?
Yeah, okay. Don't lie to me. I mean, you know, evade the question. If you don't want to answer it, I can see that. But, you know, if they ask you if you're a racist, don't come out and tell them you're the least racist person in the world. And
all I can say is that when it comes to people who I know who have started on the local level, who have went to the national level and succeeded in politics, they have told me there were certain issues that they did not touch. They made it a point not to touch them. Now, they didn't lie about them, but they did not make them an issue of that campaign because they knew they would not be elected.
Right, and sometimes you just have to do it because, you know,
when I ran for state,
you might want to voice your opinion on it, but you know, if it's going to hurt you, you just got to kind of, you know, keep your opinion quiet, unless you can ever get in there and do something, you know, and help your cause. You know, then
see, that's the catch-22. Are you 100% honest, and you don't get to do anything about your cause? Or do you evade and avoid so you can get in there and do something about your cause?
Well, when I ran for state rep, I told my wife before I did, I said, the chances of me winning in this district are slim and none because I am pro-gun...
control?
I want us to have honest-to-goodness talks about it, but I also want us to make sure that we have sensible gun control. And
I'm all for guns.
Yeah, I am too.
But,
I like hunters.
You pulled a gun on somebody not too long ago, didn't you?
No.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And he's lucky he left here. Alive.
Well, I have nothing against gun owners, and I have nothing. I think we need sensible gun rules. But I'm not pro-abortion, but I am pro-choice, which I knew was going to go against me. So those two things I knew were going to go against me, and I told my wife I am definitely not going to evade those questions if they come up, and I did not.
But so, if I wasn't allowed to own a gun, I would have. You know, he probably would beat me a little bit, you know, trying to get money and or drugs from me. I don't have any drugs he would have wanted anyhow.
But aspirin doesn't work.
Right. You know, he might want some insulin or
oh, great.
Mar pills or something like that. But, you know, and I think he knew how bad I got around.
Well, it's interesting to me.
I think I was targeted.
It's just strange. I mean,
it's a shame.
Was a light on in your house?
Yep.
See, that's weird, because how would he know that the door was unlocked, and if a light was on, why would you walk in?
Well, he probably didn't want to walk in when it was dark, because he couldn't see.
But if the light's on, usually
there was somebody, you know, had a gun, you know, in the top drawer, you know, of the table here.
Yeah, but usually if a light's on, it means somebody's home, and you really don't want to run into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most people, they push these gun locks and everything else, you know. Can you get to that gun when that happens?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have no kids, so, you know, if I had kids, I couldn't keep this gun like this.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting point. Hey, thanks for calling.
I do have a baseball bat.
Yeah, I can love it too.
There you go.
All right.
Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Call in 44 minutes past the hour. I think you can say you're going to be honest all the day, all the live long day, but when it comes to people choosing you for a position, you better learn how to be savvy about that.
That wasn't my choice. I felt in my mind that I had no choice. I had to tell people where I stood, and if they like that, good, vote for me. So if I was going to run a second time, they would know where I stood. I didn't run a second time, but I felt a lot better. And not only did I feel better by allowing myself that freedom, but I also enjoyed my discussions with people. I had lots of people come up to me and say, "You're all wrong on the gun issue." And we'd talk about the gun issue. And I never did quite get the feeling that I was wrong on it. I wasn't severely, you know, take all the guns away from people. I felt I had the right position. I still do.
Well, see, I don't know, because I don't consider it lying, but I do believe as a journalist who interviews politicians and newsmakers that I should not give my opinion on those issues. Now, I have opinions, and I vote, but I wouldn't tell you if you ask me.
No, I think that's good for somebody who assumes that they are a news person. I like when you and I talk, I don't think of myself as a news person.
No, but I'm just saying, I think the politician sees it that way. I don't think they see it as telling a lie. I think they see it as playing it close to the vest so they can get that job and do something about it.
I call it hiding their true feelings.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, you don't mind, I just have a little story here, and it's kind of political and kind of different. When Vice President Obama, when Obama was president and Biden was vice president, he came to Marion, and so I took my wife out there and see him, and so we was there, and
I was right behind him. I would have waved at you if I'd known you were there.
I didn't hear you.
I was right behind Biden on stage there. They, for some reason or other, they dragged me up on stage.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how people in front of us, they stayed standing up until they was politely said to sit down.
Yeah.
You remember that situation?
I do remember that.
Here's the main story.
Okay.
Carol in a wheelchair. And bits and pieces. I like to listen to politicians, and I like to do that, so I pick up bits and pieces. But the administration of Obama and Biden at the time, they were for women, and more or less that pertains to the rights and the values, that they ought to have the same values as men and stuff,
yeah,
and
right.
Pay and all that. So anyhow, that was my thing. That was my anchor. And so I went up there to a security guy. I saw a security guy. I motioned for him to come over, and he came over. And I said, "Sir," I said, "my wife's here," and I said, "she's in this wheelchair, and I want her, and she'd like to meet President Biden and shake his hand." And he said, "Well," he said, "you can go back there." And I said, "Listen, sir," I said, "I come from back there. I don't want that mess, them chairs and stuff all over. You can't get a wheelchair through there." So I said, "Would you please see that I put this in his ear?" I remember when he was on the platform, Obama and him, for the women. And I said, "My wife's the only woman that I can really see that's in this facility of maybe 1,000 people there that day." I might be overestimating. You were there, Glenn. But there was a lot of, it was a pretty good crowd.
It was a good
crowd,
yeah.
Big crowd. And so he said, "I'll see what I can do for you." So I watched him. He was wired, you know, with that little microphone coming around, and he went up there, and I seen him talking to Biden, and I seen Biden's head go like this, and I thought, "Oh man, I think I'm in." And so he walked back, and he said, "It'll be a few, I'll have to wait a few minutes." And I said, "Hey," I said, "when they get, he gets through talking, they're going to get out of here, and they're getting on the way back to the Capitol." And I said, "I hope I get this message through." And, you know, all at once, and you mentioned on the air about a black woman and the power and stuff. Well, I'll agree with you 100%. This one was about 5 foot, probably five, and somebody took a hold of my arm right there at the elbow, and she said, "Follow me, sir." And it was a black woman, and she was security, and she was wired also.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, man, this is the way it's going to go now. And so I went over there, and I looked out of my other eye, and there was another guy walking parallel with us and going up there, and took us right up to the area, and they said, "Just hold right there." And we was right at the boundary line as far as you're going to go.
I remember that incident, by the way. Do you? I do, yeah.
And so Carol was there, and here came Joe. And Joe, and I'm standing back in the wheelchair, and there Joe knelt down, took my wife's hands, and both of them was talking. Now, yep. I don't know what the heck this talking so long.
Bad stuff.
He kissed my wife's hand, not once, but twice. So she was kind of thrilled of being that close to the president in the presidency, you know, of a vice president, president yep. of the United States. Now he is the president. So guess who's hanging on the wall there? There's my granddaughter.
Mayo Tse-tung.
Wildlife officer, you know. And then there's Joe Biden. And then there's not me. I'm not on that wall, but I had to put that story out. But that's the way you see. You got to talk, and you got to have some time when they perform on TV and say what they're going to do. That stuck in my mind, and I was going to see with my wife disabled for 30 years why I've been through a lot of it. They say public wheelchair accessible stuff. Well, buddy, I'll tell you, I can show you and tell you some big stories, 30 years worth, how they get treated. And some of them are by themselves and get treated like that.
Yeah.
But I was there and I stuck up.
Yeah.
Stuck up for my wife big time, a lot of time. But anyhow, I thought I'd put that on the air for you.
Very good. Great story. Thank you.
About Joe Biden and my wife there. And it was nice that I could see that in my wife's eyes. And, you know, there was a couple other celebrities down at Elvis Presley. I always pursued things for my wife, you know. But down there, Elvis Presley's Graceland, why Elvis's uncle was over there, and he had, and I went over there and asked him who he was. I didn't know who he was, and he said, "I'm Elvis Presley's uncle." So I took Carol. I said, "I got my wife over here. Would like to meet you. Would you be able to talk to her?" He said, "Certainly." And so she met him and was in Hawaii. And who's the singer there in Hawaii, Glenn?
Something Ho.
Yeah, well, he was up on a platform about three tiers, and I couldn't get Carol up there, so I went up there, and our youngest son was with us and her sister, and I said, "Hey, I said, I'm glad to meet you, shake your hand, and this and that." I said, "My wife was unable to get up there to this platform." I said, he said, "That's far enough." He said, "I'll tell you, when I'm in the show tonight, after the show, I will come and shake your wife's hand and present a signature signed to." And so all at once I thought, well, that's a bunch of crap. And all at once the show's over, and he said, "Folks, just a minute." And the lights dimmed, and they had this huge spotlight. Oh. I swear up and down I could hear the rays of the spotlight go right over to where Carol was. And he went up there, and he presented her the signed autograph and stuff. So she's had a pretty good life, and you know what? If you want to pursue something enough, you can pursue it, and you can get it done. So I've had fun in my life, married life, of doing that for her.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks
great
for
stories.
Talking.
Good stories. 740-383-9944. Good to hear those stories.
And I really remember, I honest to goodness remember that story about Biden. I didn't know that I knew the person, but.
We'll see. There you go. Yeah. There's your connection. 53 minutes past the hour. Again, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. So the point of this whole soliloquy was not really political. But it was the radio personalities, people in the broadcast business, who are a little different than they are on the air. And it was just interesting. I guess because I've gotten used to Adam over the last 5 years, I realize that the person you hear on the air is not really the person that you see.
Is that like getting used to the hot sauce?
Yeah, you just
getting used to...
Well, what do you... I was going to ask your opinion, just so I'm not out here in the woods on this.
I love Adam.
No. I'm saying as far as what you've heard on the air, because you've heard his shows, and what you know...
Oh, it's way different.
Yeah, it's a complete... I think of all the people here, and we've got quite a few hosts, he is probably the biggest contrast.
Yeah, he is a huge contrast. If you meet him in person, you'll know that he's shy, and he definitely is shy.
And nervous.
And yet... On Facebook, he's not shy at all. He's got all sorts of pictures of him at the eating food and doing weightlifting and all that sort of thing. But in person, he's pretty quiet.
Well, I don't know about quiet. I think he talks faster. Yeah. Because it's interesting, if you hear him call in on my show where he's gotten the nickname the windpipe, I think it's because he's talking fast. He's talking long and he's talking fast. But if you listen to him on a show he's doing, he really slows it down, and it's a much more...
He sounds like he went to Columbia School of Broadcasting.
It's a delivery. It's modulated.
And he's enunciating.
Right. But, you know, it's those videos that he does when he's on the air that... Now that I would get the impression that he's nervous because he's always moving.
Yeah, he is always moving, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
He's avoiding gunshots.
Is that what it is?
And blow darts and things.
Because I was, you know, Linda to me is no different. Pastor Whitaker and Pastor Craig are really no different. Angie, Sean, Terry, Nate, I really don't see a whole lot of difference.
Oh, Angie's afraid of you. That's why she's different.
Well, there is that. But I think broadcasting personas fascinate me.
Yeah. Well, and I bet it's true with the television personas as well. I bet they're different.
Well, I think so. Yeah. I think they're trying not to tick anybody off.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something I don't worry about too much anymore, ticking people off. I don't tick a lot of people off, but, you know, people disagree with my political stance, but that's fine. If I've ticked them off, I'm sorry. They haven't ticked me off, so I leave it alone.
I don't, you know, it's something I don't even think about because I don't do any kind of real show prep.
No.
So I don't know what's coming.
Really?
Not really, no.
Oh,
no.
I do a lot of show prep.
I mean, I really don't have any papers out here in front of me.
No, you don't. So, I have notes on my little phone.
Yeah, so whatever comes to my mind, like this morning I told the story yesterday of getting my oil changed and the discount I got and the nice, hey, listen, that brings in the calls. That and conversations about the cat lady.
Oh, me.
Those are calls galore.
I think the cat lady called me the other day. But
nobody called you?
And nobody called. Well, I had all sorts of calls. I did Family Feud, and I was busy every minute of that show.
We talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How good.
I was shocked.
Well, now that you've got time here with the last 3 minutes of the program.
I forgot everything I was going to say.
I forgot everything you were going to say. But, let's see. What's coming up on the show next hour?
I just happened to bring that up
on
my phone.
Well, here we go.
Yeah,
interesting I asked that.
We're going to talk about Secretary Lincoln.
Blinken.
He's going to the Ukraine. I just noticed I misspelled it, I think. He's going to the Ukraine. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Trump's speech on MLK Day. We're going to talk about the difference between Jim Crow 1 and Jim Crow 2, which is, I'm sure, something that Dr. Feynman's going to love to talk about. And also, this is one that Dr. Feynman's going to go off on. Santis, if he runs for president, is the former president and Santis going to have a big fight on stage? They're arguing quite a bit right now.
So, oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, I've missed that whole thing.
The governor of Florida, Santis, he's getting scant looks from the former president because he's going to run against him, I guess. Or maybe not. We'll find out.
Well, that's showbiz.
Yeah. You win some, you lose some.
What are you going to do?
Oh, did you know that MIT, Missouri Institute of Technology, has done a survey, and they find out more people are quitting their jobs now. And we're going
to
talk about
that. To do what?
Other things.
Oh, well, I don't know.
You know, things they want to do as opposed to things they had to do.
You know, it's interesting because I usually catch the beginning of you and Dr.
Yeah,
Feynman.
Sure.
And it's fascinating because with him, it's good to have passion.
We've got him trained not to use the D word.
Well, but he's very passionate. But it's interesting because I wonder, is there any, but not long gone Republicans, but are there any Republicans in office now that we would think that he would dislike, that he can come up with good, like, can he say something good about Trump? Can he say something good about Marco Rubio? Can he say something good? Like last week, I thought, and I this is not a quote because I can't remember, but he did say something about Marco Rubio, and I remember I was just getting out of the car as he said it, and I can't remember if he said he wasn't too bright or something like that. Now, to me, how do you know?
He says nice things about Romney. He says nice things about...
Well, but these are the easy ones that Democrats go to. I'm talking about a real... Let's talk about Mike Pence, Donald Trump.
A firebrand Republican. No, I don't think he says nice things about... Because it's hard to say nice things if you're a Democrat about the more aggressive... right wing, right?
Yeah, but I, as a human being, I can find something nice to say about anybody. Oh, and by the way, I'm just going to bring this up because maybe you'll want to talk to this.
Can, but go ahead.
Okay. But in any event, did you see, and somebody called in here last week. Who was it? Somebody called in. It may have been Adam. Maybe it wasn't Adam. But anyway, the story was that. And it was in a. It was at the Daily News. It was a fairly credible newspaper. It wasn't the. National Enquirer, that the person who would be most likely to beat Donald Trump if he ran again in the next presidential election would be Hillary Clinton. Because, and the theory behind it is that last time people did not vote for Biden, they voted against Trump. Mm-hmm. And this time they'll be voting for, and they don't think Biden can beat Trump. When they're voting for the people, they don't think Kamala Harris has enough support, but Hillary has faced Trump, has got, and the Hillary-Trump election was about Hillary and Trump. It wasn't about...
And she won by 3 million votes.
And she's younger than Biden and Trump.
Yeah.
So, you know...
My wife and I have talked about that.
You
but
never
I don't think,
know.
I don't think Hillary has any desire to do that.
Well, right up until they ask her, and those poll makers start saying, well, you might win. I still think she wants to be president.
Don't know.
You
we'll
only get one.
Out.
Hey, if everybody else, if the other two running are both older than you, why not?
True.
All right, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Aldo Road, telephone number 740-225-4495, webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. I am the host of the Pastor Spot here at the radio station. We are on live Friday mornings at 11:15. It is replayed Wednesday at 3 o'clock and also Sunday morning